कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा ग्रीवरधारी गोपी जन वल्लभा ग्रीवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरीवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णु परमहंस परिव्रजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिशिमाद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कॉन बीबीटी संस्थापक आचार्य इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, in the matter of prayers by the demigods, text 28. Tvam eka evasya sataprasutis. Tvam sannidhanam tva anugrahascha. Tvanmaya samvrita chetasastvam. Pashyanti nanana vipaschitoye. Tvameka evasya sata prasutis. Tvam sannidhanam tvam anugrascha. Tvanmaya samvrita chetasastvam. Pashyanti nanana vipaschitoye. Tvameka evasya sata prasutis. Tvam sannidhanam tva anugrahascha. Tvanmaya samvrita chetatastvam. Pashyanti nanana vipaschitoye. Tvameka evasya sata prasutis. Tvam sannidhanam tva anugrahascha. Tvanmaya samvrita chetasastvam. Pashyanti nanana vipaschitoye. Tvam anugrahascha. Tvanmaya samvrita chetasastvam. Pashyanti nanana vipaschitoye. Vaishnavis. Maya samvrita chetasastvam. Pashyanti nanana vipaschitoye. Thank you. त्वम, यू ओ लॉर्ड, एकहा, बीइंग वन विदाउट अ सेकंड, यू आर एवरीथिंग, एवा, इंडीड, अस्य सतहा, ऑफ दिस कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन, नाउ विजिबल, प्रसूति, द ओरिजिनल सोर्स, त्वम, योर लॉर्डशिप, सन्निधानम, द कंजर्वेशन ऑफ ऑल सच एनर्जी, व्हेन एवरीथिंग इज एनिहिलेटेड, त्वम, योर लॉर्डशिप, अनुग्रह च, एंड द मेंटेनर, त्वत् मायया, बाय योर इल्यूजरी एक्सटर्नल एनर्जी, संवृत चेतसहा, those whose intelligence is covered by such illusory energy. Tvam, unto you, pashyanti, observe. Nana, many varieties. Na, not. Vipaschitaha, learned scholars or devotees. Ye, who are. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Translation, the efficient cause of this material world manifested with its many varieties as the original tree is you, O Lord. You are also the maintainer of this material world. And after annihilation, you are the one in whom everything is conserved. Those who are covered by your external energy cannot see you behind this manifestation, but theirs is not the vision of learned devotees. Purport. Various demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Vishnu are supposed to be the creator, maintainer and annihilator of this material world, but actually they are not. The fact is that everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested in varieties of energy. Ekam eva dvitiyam brahma. There is no second existence. Those who are truly vipaschit, learned, are those who have reached the platform of understanding and observing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any condition of life. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Brahma Samhita 5.38. Learned devotees accept even conditions of distress as representing the presence of the Supreme Lord. When a devotee is in distress, he sees that the Lord has appeared as distress just to relieve or purify the devotee from the contamination of the material world. While one is within this material world, one is in various conditions, and therefore a devotee sees a condition of distress as but another feature of the Lord. Tattenukampam susiksham Susumikshamana Bhagavatam 10.14.8. A devotee therefore regards distress as a great favor of the Lord because he understands that he is being cleansed of contamination. Tesham aham samudhatra mritu samsara sagarat. Bhagavad Gita 12.7. The appearance of distress is a negative process intended to give the devotee relief from this material world, which is called mrityu samsara, or the constant repetition of birth and death. To save a surrendered soul from repeated birth and death, the Lord purifies him of contamination by offering him a little distress. This cannot be understood by a non-devotee, but a devotee can see this because he is vipaschit or learned. A non-devotee therefore is perturbed in distress, For a devotee welcomes distress as another feature of the Lord. Sarvam kalva idam brahma. A devotee can actually see that there is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no second entity. Ekam eva dvitiyam. There is only the Lord who presents himself in different energies. Persons who are not in real knowledge think that Brahma is the creator, Vishnu the maintainer, and Shiva the annihilator, and that the different demigods are intended to fulfill diverse purposes. Thus, they create diverse purposes and worship various demigods to have those purposes fulfilled. Kamaistairtair hritagyana prapadyante anya devataha. A devotee, however, knows that these various demigods are but different parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that these parts need not be worshipped. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:23, Epi anya devata bhakta yajante shraddhayanvitaha tepi mam eva kaunteya yajanti avidipurvakam. Whatever a man has sacrificed to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. There is no need to worship the demigods, for this is avidhi, not an order. Simply by surrounding oneself at the lotus feet of Krishna, one can completely discharge one's duties. There is no need to worship various deities or demigods. These various divinities are observed by the mudas, fools who are bewildered by the three modes of material nature. Tribir gunamair bhavair ebhi sarvam idam jagat. Such fools cannot understand that the real source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mohitam nabijanati mam ebhya param avyayam. Not being disturbed by the Lord's various features, one should concentrate upon and worship the Supreme Lord. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. This should be the guiding principle of one's life. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to text 28 of the chapter 2 in the matter of prayers by demigods, by the demigods, canto 10. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakatha Dhamadaya Nagragramatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Paranadana Dase Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpattarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurudin Tarinam Yat Kripatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Katanchana smrite yasmin dushkaram sukaram bhavet Vismrite viparitam syat Sri Chaitanyam namamitam. This is a very interesting purport where Prabhupada ties together various things, and this purport is Prabhupada's genius at work, where he integrates different things perfectly. let me begin with the last sentence. Prabhupada says that not being disturbed by the Lord's various features, one should concentrate upon and worship the Supreme Lord. Mam ekam sharanam braja. This should be the guiding principle of one's life. Now, he says that we should not be distracted by the various features of the Lord, disturbed or distracted by the various features of the Lord, and one should simply surrender unto the Supreme Lord. So earlier, he writes how that there is only, the Lord. He says there is only the Lord. And earlier also, little earlier in the purport also, this Prabhupada quotes, Ekam eva dvitiyam brahma. There is no second existence. So this may appear like Mayavada philosophy, where there is only the Lord, or there is no second existence. So it could apparently look like Mayavada philosophy, but Prabhupada elaborately explains it in the purport and elsewhere in his books very clearly, that for example in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, so it is explained that the Lord is the substance and then there are categories. So categories refers to the energies of the Lord. So what does it mean when we say that the Lord is one? Let me give the example of milk. Let's say milk is the substance. So Prabhupada gives the example of Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita gives the example that Lord Shiva is the milk transformed into yogurt. So it's basically milk, but just a transformation of milk. So we could say that we are particles of that milk, of the unlimited quantity of milk. So everything is actually milk. That is the point. But that does not mean that there's a milk itself, there's particles of milk, transformation of milk. But there is only one thing called milk. That is the point that Prabhupada is trying to make. It is not that there is milk and there's also something called fire. So everything is just milk. You may have milk as an entity, as a whole, which is Krishna, then you have particles, you have the living entities, then you have transformation, Lord Shiva, like that. The understanding is that everything is just one. There's nothing other than milk. This is the point that is being driven here. And in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna explains in the 30th verse of the 6th chapter, he says, Yomam sarvatra pashyati, Yomam pashyati sarvatra, what is the second line? Sarvam cha mayi pashyati, tasyaham na pranashyami, sacha neme pranashyati. So he says that one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. I'll just read the first few lines of those purport, of that purport. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of material nature, but each and every instance he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. So, Prabhupada explains it here, each and every instance is conscious of Krishna. That is the point there. So it is not, this is not a verse again from the Bhagavad Gita which promotes pantheism. Pantheism is the idea that everything is God. So Prabhupada explained, it's not that what do we mean by saying that one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me. What does it mean? So what is it that, how do we understand that expression? So Prabhupada in this purport to the Bhagavad Gita and in this Bhagavatam verse which we are reading now, both these verses, He ties this whole thing together by quoting the Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochana verse of the Brahma Samhita. Now, that is a very famous verse of the Brahma Samhita, which says, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochana Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti, that by anointing the eyes with the ointment of love, the saints see the Lord constantly in their hearts. And so it is love which enables one to see that, which enables one to be conscious of the presence of the Lord everywhere. It is love. What do we mean by love? For example, Prabhupada gives the example of the mother and the child. So Prabhupada says, just like when a child goes to school, a mother may see the shoes of the child. And the moment the mother sees the shoes of the child, instantly the mother is reminded of the child. It is not that the child is the shoe or the shoe is the child. But the fact is, because of the mother's love for the child, even though the child is not physically present with the mother, the moment the mother sees the shoes of the child, immediately the mother remembers the child. So what is it that is causing that remembrance? It is love. That's why Prabhupada repeatedly quotes that, both in this text and that text from 30th chapter of the 30th verse of the 6th chapter. Yoga Pashyati Sarvatra. So that is the thread. So it is by love that one can see the presence of the Supreme Lord. And it is only love that clarifies that presence. Otherwise, if we just try to analyze it logically, you can never get it fully clarified. It is love which clarifies the whole position of the Supreme Lord. Now everything is a manifestation of his energy. Now, how does that one begin that process of love? So that begins with Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. So Prabhupada ends that by saying, this is how you do it. That you surrender immediately, you surrender unto the Supreme Lord. And in the beginning of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the preface, right, this he begins the preface like this, that Lord Chaitanya's teachings are practical teachings of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And what is Krishna's teaching in the Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada says, Sarvadharman Paritejya. So Lord Chaitanya came to teach us how to love God, and that begins with Sarvadharman Paritejya. And what does Prabhupada say in the next line of the preface? He makes a very important statement there. A key word which we should never miss, which Prabhupada says, the moment you decide, okay, I want to surrender unto the Lord. And then Prabhupada says, the Lord takes immediate charge. Uses that word expression, immediate charge. And then he says, what does the immediate charge mean? Immediate charge means that he is directly taking charge of you. He taking charge of us. That means, I mean, if we surrender. So, and it is not being done through external energy. So, when he says he's taking directly charge, of course he means through his internal energy. That's what it means. And then he explains, what does surrender mean? So, there are six symptoms of surrender, or six steps, six things, six elements of surrender, which is to accept things favorable for the service of the Lord, reject things unfavorable to the service of the Lord, firmly believe in the Lord's protection, be exclusively dependent on the dependent on the mercy of the Lord, have no interest separate from the interests of the Lord, and the sixth one is to always be meek and humble. Now these six elements constitute what is called as surrender. And the moment we do that, the Lord takes immediate charge. Now we may wonder, okay, these six elements of surrender are there, but maybe I'm following one element. What about all the six elements together? So maybe at that stage Krishna will take charge. But Prabhupada explains that the concept of pure devotee is not limited to only those who have attained Krishna Prema. The concept of pure devotee refers to anybody who has decided to take up the process of pure devotional service exclusively. So, what does that mean? For example, suppose we have a school. In a school, we have children of different grades. You have children in the kindergarten or play school. Then you have children in grade 1, grade 2. And finally, you have children up to grade 12 or 13, whatever it may be. So, all the children in the school are equal. But some of them are more advanced than the others. Obviously, somebody in grade 13 is more advanced than in grade 1. Advancement does not mean there is a discrimination. Advancement just refers to the position of the person. It does not refer, okay, if there's a discrimination against a first standard student, there's a and more favor towards the grade 13 student. No, the school does not discriminate between its students. It gives more responsibilities to a grade 13 student or grade 12 student, but gives less responsibilities towards the grade 1 student. So it's only a question of division of responsibility. But in terms of taking care, the Lord takes care of all, the school takes care of all the children. So like that, the Lord takes care of all his pure devotees. A pure devotee who is just beginning the process and a pure devotee who is in the level of Krishna Prema. So what is the meaning of pure devotee, beginning pure devotee, Krishna Prema? So Prabhupada gives the example of a mango. He says that just like a green mango eventually becomes a ripe mango, similarly those who have taken to the process of pure devotional service, eventually they will attain Krishna Prema. So the point is that the moment we decide we want to follow the instructions of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Paritejya, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, once we decide, yes, from this point onwards I want to do this, then the Lord takes immediate charge. How he reciprocates may be different for different people, but he is taking different direct charge. Just like Krishna reciprocated Arjuna, he drove his chariot, he did various things for Arjuna. We may not say, oh, why Krishna is not coming and driving a car? That is not how we are supposed to think. The point is, how Krishna reciprocates with his different devotees is up to Krishna, up to your level of love that you have developed for Krishna. But the point is, Krishna takes direct charge. And Prabhupada gives another example. He says, just like if there is the head of the state or head of the country, you say, the prime minister or president of the country, Prabhupada says he has an entourage, his people. And then there are the other citizens of the country. If you look by constitution, all the citizens of the country are equal. But the president of the country takes personal care of his entourage. So like that, all are children of God. But the moment you surrender unto the Lord, moment we surrender, then we immediately become part of the Lord's entourage. And he takes care. He may not directly come and talk to us. That's different. But just like the entourage, it's not that the president goes and speaks to everybody every day. He may have some personal secretaries who may talk to every day. But otherwise, the entire entourage are all directly taken care of by the president of the country. So like that, it is once we surrender to the Supreme Lord, which means we accept, okay, at least we make up mind. These six elements of surrender, this is what I'm going to try very hard, sincerely, with all my heart and put all my efforts without getting frustrated. Oh, I failed today, it failed tomorrow, whatever. We don't give up. As long as we are, as Prabhupada says, in the fire of Krishna consciousness, as long as we stick to that process, then eventually we'll reach the stage of Krishna Prema. Now Prabhupada makes a very important point. See, amidst all this, suddenly brings up the concept of distress. That why is he suddenly introducing the concept of distress now? He speaks about it for quite a long time in this purport. So Prabhupada is trying to make the point that for a devotee who has surrendered, there is no such thing as victory, defeat. There is no such thing as loss and gain. There is no such thing as high and low. Everything, the devotee who has surrendered, these are all relativistic material conceptions of life. But for one who has surrendered unto the Supreme Lord, these conceptions of life do not exist. Rather, there is only one conception of life, which is that everything is Krishna's mercy. And normally it is distress which makes us disturbed. We cannot realize how is this Krishna's mercy. So Prabhupada spends a great amount of time in this, lines in this purport trying to explain how the distress is also the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So now, sometimes we may think, okay, that's fine. High, low, all the different things. How do we reconcile that in Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness also, you have leaders. Prabhupada wanted us to do big things. So if we don't do big things, are we useless? So there are so many things, considerations within Krishna consciousness also. Are we supposed to be leaders, followers? What are we supposed to be? Why do all these distinctions exist in Krishna consciousness then? If Prabhupada is saying everything is the mercy of the Lord, yes, but how do we understand all these different things? What do all these distinctions mean? Prabhupada explains this very nicely in a letter to Tejas Prabhu. This is from 1972. I'll just read that out, the relevant sections. Very beautiful letter. He writes 19 December 1972, letter to Tejas, Mumbai. Do not be disturbed. There is no cause for anxiety. You are doing your best to serve Krishna. That is very much appreciated. So do not lose enthusiasm out of frustration. That will spoil everything. Krishna consciousness means we should always be satisfied and happy. Not that we must work something impossible, become overburdened, and then because we are unhappy by so much trouble, we lose enthusiasm altogether and give up all hope. No, if too much endeavor is there, that is to be avoided. By all means, we must preserve our spiritual status. That is the point. Then Prabhupada explains, not that we are mad after big buildings, many devotees, life members, this, that. I'll read that again. Not that we are mad after big buildings, many devotees, life members, this, that. No, these are only ways to engage the devotees so that they may apply the principles of devotional living into some kind of work for practical realization of these principles. It is not the result of the work we want. It is not the result of the work we want. If only one person daily, if we sincerely preach to such one person in a day, that is sufficient. Never mind big programs. Krishna does not like to see his sincere devotee suffer or become frustrated or depressed. He will not stand idly by in any such case. So do not fear on that account. Krishna has got some plan for you. Always think in that way, and very soon he will provide everything to your heart's desire. So Prabhupada brings out the principle very clearly that we should not be bothered by these things even in Krishna consciousness. We should just give our best. It is not that the result which is important. It is not that being the best is important. Yes, Prabhupada wants us to double the book distribution. Prabhupada wants us to think big. Prabhupada wants so many things. But how does he want it? That is the important point. What does he want? He's trying to make it very clear that we have to simply give our best and be happy. Whether the result is achieved or not. Prabhupada is saying very clearly, it is not the result that we want. It is the effort that is needed, which means we should sincerely try. That should not be compromised at any point. That he's saying we should preserve our spiritual status. Spiritual status is we give in our best, not that we try to become the best. So this whole material relativistic conception, at one stroke it vanishes. The concept of good, bad, high, low, loss, gain, all that vanishes in one stroke when we think it is not this that we want. It is simply that whatever is our capacity, whatever are the resources that we have, we simply engage in the service of Krishna to the best of our ability. And therefore, this whole concept of duality, of high, low, good, bad, all these things vanish in one stroke by understanding that whatever we are, whoever we are, we just have to give in our best. So this is the underlying principle, because Krishna likes us the way we are. Because we are constitutionally immutable. Immutable in the sense that we cannot become somebody else. Krishna explains clearly in the Bhagavad Gita. The soul is immutable. So you cannot become somebody else. So Krishna does not want us to try to become somebody else. Krishna just wants us to revive our love for him so that we can be who we are in our constitutional position. So this is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness, which we should never forget, because otherwise we may get into this whole trap. Oh, I've been so many years in the movement, I don't have this facility. Why somebody has got this facility? This person is recognized more. This person is like, why I'm not recognized? There are so many kinds of dualities and confusions that can be caused by the mind. And some of the distresses are simply these kind of distresses. When Prabhupada speaks about distress, it is not necessarily he's referring to a physical pain, because there are three kinds of distresses. One is the adidaivik, adhyatmik and adibhautik. Adhyatmik miseries refer not just to the body, but also miseries caused by the mind. And what are miseries caused by the mind? This whole thing about us looking in terms of the relation with the world, independent of Krishna. So we think, okay, I'm better than this person in this way, I'm lesser than this person in this way, I'm this, I'm that, all those things. The point is, why do we need to worry about those things? We just need to worry about whatever abilities we have due to whatever past activities we have done. We've got a body, we've got a certain mind. We simply have to engage it to the best possible ability in the service of the Lord. That should simply be our consideration. Why is somebody getting more privilege? Why are we getting less privileges? This should not be our business. Our business is to always remain fixed on the platform. Prabhupada said there should be no compromise on that. That we should remain steadily fixed on that platform. And the moment we say distress is the mercy of the Lord, this is something which we really need to understand, because quite often we think that there is us, there is Krishna, but we also have karma. What to do with that? We have to deal with that karma. We don't have to deal with this karma. This is the whole point that Krishna is trying to make in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman pariteja. You forget about it. I will take care. And Prabhupada says immediate charge. So sometimes when we face distress, we may think, oh, maybe we should check astrology and find some astrological remedy for this distress. That is not the path of pure devotional service. The moment we adopt that kind of a mentality, immediately it is a fall down. It is a fall down from the platform of pure devotional service. Because the moment we see it as karma, then who is the solution to the karma? It is the demigods. The demigods are avoiding the karma. Krishna is not avoiding karma. The demigods are avoiding karma. So immediately we get into that platform of thinking that, okay, we need to appease some demigod for the sake of Krishna. So we get into this whole dualistic thinking. For the sake of Krishna, we need to appease some demigod. That's why Krishna is very clearly saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada also is making this point. It is not that there are two different people. It's less like milk. It is not that there is milk in this fire. So we need to do this to please Krishna. No, there is only one entity for Krishna. And everybody is an expansion of his energy or transformation various ways. That's all. So all that we need to do is just please Krishna. And being followers of Rupa Goswami, we should be very clear about this, that the moment we take resort in astrology or something else, or self-help, they can say self-help, right? That is even more powerful than astrology these days. That powerfully known, at least in the material world. I'm not saying it's powerful for us. But people think, yes, self-help, psychological, just like you need a doctor for the body. That Krishna, I say, is obvious. You need to have a Ayurveda, you need some doctor. So similarly, for the mind also, you need a doctor. What is the big thing? Why can't I read some self-help book? But the greatest self-help book is the Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna speaks about the mind in the Bhagavad Gita. Manmana, Bhavabhakto, this is all referring to the mind. Speaks about the nature of the mind, what to do with the mind. So the greatest self-help book is the Bhagavad Gita. And I was I met a lady 2 weeks ago. And she's just recently introduced to Krishna consciousness. So she told me that she has read so many different self-help books, so many things, that she knows the content of many of these books. And now that she's studying the Bhagavad Gita, she's immediately able to see, hey, these people have taken this from here, this from here, this from here. This is what they've done. And so she said, I'm very surprised that these people don't even recognize this. They don't even acknowledge this. But when I come to the Bhagavad Gita, this looks like the source of all the self-help books. So we should be convinced of this fact that there is no need for self-help other than the Bhagavad Gita. We need Krishna help. We don't need self-help. Because self-help is using our own mind to figure out what to do. So we don't need self-help. We need Krishna help. So the point is, if we start depending on other entities other than Krishna, whether it is astrology or whether it is self-help, then we are in trouble. In fact, it is interesting, if we read Prahlad Maharaj's pastimes in the Bhagavatam, when it speaks about Prahlad Maharaj being protected, there's an interesting expression that the Bhagavatam uses, which is Krishna Graha Grihita. Now, I studied a bit of astrology in early part of my life. So, this term, Grihita, is a very specific term which is used in astrology. Astrology, it refers to a planet which seizes you. Like there are the nine planets in astrology. So usually you say you are under the influence of Rahu. So it says Grihita, you're captured by that, you're seized by that planet. So how was Prahlad Maharaj protected according to the Bhagavatam? He was seized by the Krishna planet, he says. So there are nine planets and there's also the Krishna planet. That Krishna planet is for those who surrendered to Krishna. So we don't have to worry about these other nine planets. We have to worry about the Krishna planet. So we don't even have to worry about the Krishna planet because Krishna automatically takes charge. So we should be confident of this fact. And you may think it is easier said than done. I mean, but sometimes there are some real problems. What do you do? Like there is this story, Vishal Prabhu from Vrindavan. I think it's Vishal Prabhu. It's a Prabhupada disciple. So he was wearing a talisman and Prabhupada saw the talisman on his arm and asked Prabhupada, what is this? And he said, there is a devotee or astrologer or somebody in Vrindavan who gave me that talisman because I'm going through Rahu planet phase, Rahu Dasha. So Prabhupada heard that and he said, you have taken to the process of Krishna consciousness. You surrender unto the Supreme Lord. And Krishna, with one stroke of his kick, he can kick millions of Rahu planets. So throw away this talisman, he said. So he did it. So this is our process. And I have a personal experience in this. In the year 2003, when I was in Mayapur, there was one senior devotee. I was going through a very difficult phase in my life. And there was one senior devotee, I think 2004 actually. Yeah, there's one very senior devotee who told me, look, there is a devotee, astrologer, tantric something in Mayapur. Please meet with him to find out what is going on with you. I said, no, I don't want to do that. Then he said, he tried to convince me, persuade me. And so he spoke to me for an hour and a half and I somehow managed to wriggle out of it. So the next day he tried again. So he said, I'm asking you to please do something what he says. At least go to him and find out what he has to say. Then I thought, okay, this sounds reasonable. That he's not asking me to take refuge in that. He's just, like once Prabhupada said, there was an astrologer who came. And so Prabhupada asked about something, I think. So then he said, let's see, for the fun of it, let us see what he has to say. You know, what is the, according to the charts, what does it have to say? So I was just thinking of that instance. And then I went to this devotee. So he told me that in the year 1996 to 1998, I was in touch with a good friend of mine who has done something. And he said, this friend of mine knew black magic. Is that true? He asked me. I said, yes, he knew black magic. And he said, you have had food at his house a couple of times. I said, yes. He said, that food is prasadam. So he said, it may be prasadam, but he has spiked that food because he was angry with you. Was he angry with you? I said, yes. Why was he angry? He was angry because I did not join the temple as a brahmachari. I pursued my academic life and while being a devotee, whereas he joined the temple. And after he got disillusioned with brahmachari life, and after he came out, he got angry with me. When I asked him, why are you angry with me? He said, it is your duty as my mentor to prevent me from joining the brahmachari ashram. I said, I cannot go against Prabhupada's instruction. If somebody wants to join the Brahmachari Ashram, that's very good. That's the best thing to do. So how can I stop you from doing the best thing? Anyway, he was upset with me. So this astrologer told me that because he was upset with you, and all this just by whatever, I mean, he figured it all himself that all these things has happened. I didn't speak anything, hardly anything. He told me this has happened in this period. Everything matched. Then he said that you should do this Homa, and then I said, look, this is a Smartavidhi. We don't follow this. But he said, no, it involves Hanuma and this. So many things he said. So at that time, Gopi Parandan Prabhu was in Mayapur and he was living in that BBT building. So immediately after this meeting, I went and met him and I said, this is what happened. What do you think? He's saying that this is all Vaishnava, there is some Hanuman and all those things. Then he said, it is not possible to do any of these tantric practices, even if you invoke Vaishnavas, without doing some non-Vaishnava things. So he said, this is not our process. We have taken to the chanting of the holy names. You should simply depend on the holy names and all this black magic, whatever, all these so-called disturbances will simply go away. Now in India, I mean, people think that black magic is something you have to do something to get out of it. You cannot get out of it by normal means. I mean, or by chanting Hare Krishna. People don't believe these kind of things. But because of the fact that Prabhupada speaks so much about chanting the holy names, and because one of his great servitors, Gopi Parandan Prabhu, told me this, I had full faith in that. And believe it or not, you know, it was only a matter of few years' time. And whatever was those difficulties, whatever, just vanished. So, I mean, that is a practical example I wanted to share with you, just to make the point that I'm not speaking something theoretically. It is something which I'm speaking from realization. It is possible. And I'll give another example. This is even more dramatic. When I took to Krishna consciousness as a temple president, the temple president and the vice president, their wives were sisters. And when the vice president was getting married, the astrologer said that if you conduct marriage during this particular muhurta, then there will be death. That's pretty scary to say that. I mean, if you conduct marriage during this muhurta, there will be death. So, the president told the astrologer also a devotee, by the way. So, he told the devotee that, look, if I don't conduct the marriage now, my guru cannot be present. He can only be present today, on this day. He will not be present. So, then he said, what can I do? This is what astrology says. Then the president said, forget all this astrology. The guru is the sum total representative of all the demigods. So the marriage should be conducted exactly when the guru is there. And it was done. Now this marriage was done about 35 or 36 years ago. Nobody has died. In fact, they have a daughter also. So even though astrology may say something so dangerous, or even though astrology may say something which is difficult, or the self-help people will think, unless you go to this forum, I don't want to name the forum, but anyway, there are some forums, a famous forum, some of which my devotees go to. You know, I know one devotee. In fact, let me name it. There's a landmark forum, which is quite popular among some people in ISKCON. I know of devotees who have gone to this forum, and after going to the forum, they've stopped being devotees, because now they've figured out how to do things. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that process of pure devotional service means, when we say pure devotee, once Prabhupada has asked this question specifically, how many pure devotees are there in your movement? And Prabhupada turned to his secretary and asked, how many devotees are in our movement? And he told the reporter, this many pure devotees. So this is Prabhupada's consideration of pure devotee. He expects that a beginner is also to be classified as pure devotee, because a beginner is expected to have the determination, I will depend exclusively on Krishna and I will not depend on anybody else. So whatever distress that may come in our lives, Prabhupada says, is Krishna personally doing it? It is not that some karma is coming to us. Krishna is readjusting things. He may be giving some distress. It may be from our karma or not, but Krishna is doing it. It is not Maya which is doing it. That is the point. So Krishna is personally administering it. So that's why Prabhupada says, he writes this purport is very beautiful. And even he quotes the Tatte Nukampam Susamikshamana verse, where that purport is not by Prabhupada, but Prabhupada's followers have taken from the purports of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and others. And that purport is also very fascinating, where it's very clearly brought out. Once a person takes to Krishna consciousness, there is no more karma. It's Krishna who is personally doing it. That we should be convinced. This is a great favor. Prabhupada uses the word great favor, even if we have a distress. Not favor, great favor by Krishna. So I think I'll stop here if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, very nice class. So we're very clear with regard to the astrology and all those bad elements. Anyway, one thing, the different in Prabhupada is the purport in Bhagavad Gita, the different of qualities of living entities, be they are good or bad, are created by me.
Yes.
And similar, he also said earlier, the Lord himself said that not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yes.
These two points were highly elevated in the Bhagavad Gita. So then how far the entities are responsible for good and bad, and they are in distress.
A good point. So, see, if you go to 1814 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about five factors of action. Now, in these places, he says everything is carried on by the modes, all these things. That is just for emphasis. Just for emphasis. That's why the Vedic scriptures, sometimes we have to, the nature of Vedic scriptures is like this. It says, if you touch the soul of an animal, you will take bath. Generally, it means everything, but it also gives some exception. So, it makes statements for emphasis. So, like Krishna is emphasizing the role of the modes, but it's that does not mean we are free from it. That's clarified later in 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 1814, if you look. Very clearly he's saying it. There are five factors of action. And one of the five factors of action is the place of action, the body, the performer, the super soul, the senses. The place of action is the body, the senses, the different kinds of endeavor, the Supreme Lord, and the individual performer. Just like, for example, I give you this example. Suppose you want to move 1,000 kilograms of steel. You cannot move it. Just place a 1,000 kilogram block of steel in front of you. You cannot move it. But if it's present, same 1,000 kilogram is present in the form of a car, you can move it. That's what Krishna does. He does not give you that 1,000 kilo block. He gives you a car. He's providing the facility for you. But we have to drive it. So ultimately, we are responsible for distress and happiness. Krishna provides convenience for us to act. That's all. Provides all the facilities for us to act. And even that act, if you want to drive also, Krishna has to give permission. He has to give you license. He has to, all those things he has to do. But who's handling the steering wheel? That we have to only do. We are only doing it. Of course, the ability to handle the steering wheel also is coming from Krishna. But that endeavor is coming from the soul. Yes, Pujesh. I'll take that as the last question. After that, we can stop and then you can ask me privately.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. There's one more thing Prabhupada said regarding astrology.
Yeah.
That if you know it's going to rain, it's better to carry an umbrella. And is it also true that Prabhupada himself wore a gemstone? Do you know the reason?
Gemstones?
Yeah.
See, this is a little bit of a tricky question because it depends on, I mean, not that you ask deliberately some tricky question. I'm just saying the question by nature itself needs a little bit of explanation. See, even in the planets, no, it is not that each planet is actually owned by a demigod. It's owned by Krishna himself. For example, Mars is owned by Lord Narasimhadev. He's the owner of Mars planet. So suppose you have some trouble from Mars planet, you can go to Lord Narasimhadev and pray to him. So like that, each planet has got a certain owner. All the Supreme Lord's forms only. This is explained by Parashara himself. In the beginning of astrology, Brihat Parashara Hora, right in the beginning explains who owns each planets. But usually people focus on the secondary owners, not on the primary owner. So if somebody's wearing a stone, let's say for the Mars planet, but one is thinking of Narasimhadev while wearing it, that's okay. I would say that's still okay. It's not necessary, but it's still okay. It depends on the consciousness. With what consciousness are they doing it? Yeah. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.